Does that mean that we have religious continuity from the Bronze Age into the classical period? Well, in a way it does, but then we have other gods and goddesses like Aphrodite who seem to come in later and from outside of Greece. They're not Mycenaean at all. To think about continuity of religion in another way, again, I want to give you a little anecdote involving Greece. There is a site in central Greece called Piges Kephissou, which means the springs of the Kephissus River. And like many water sources in Greece and other parts of the world, it was considered sacred. Kephissus, the river, was also a god. And so the springs of the Kephissus became a holy spot. We know that because if you go to the springs today, you can still see, cut out of the living rock, the benches on which priests sat when they officiated at ceremonies right there at the sacred pool. And right behind them was a terrace. And on the terrace was built a temple. We have dedicatory inscriptions. We know it was a temple to the god Kephissus. It doesn't stand anymore because we only have the terrace. If you go 50 metres away from that terrace, you'll find an early Christian church, the Church of Hagia Eleusa, an early Byzantine church. And it is in such a state of disrepair now that you can walk around and even look inside the walls, and what you'll find 9 times out of 10 is that a stone that was used for the Christian church is in fact a stone from the pagan temple reused. That on one side there will be a Christian cross carved, but then turn it round on the other side and you'll find some classical motif. Continuity or not? Well, yes. It's a sacred spot. It was a sacred spot then. It's a sacred spot now. But the religious system that makes it sacred is completely and utterly different. I don't think anyone's going to argue that the temple of the Kephissus, the river god, was a Christian church. So this question of continuity or change is a very vexed one, a very difficult one. For example, you can point out that at virtually every Mycenaean site that we know, there will be later a classical town, and that where the Mycenaean palace stood, there will be later an Acropolis. If you go to the Acropolis in Athens, there was a Mycenaean palace there. But what was originally a Mycenaean palace and administrative centre usually changes its nature and function. And what was the king's palace becomes in the classical period rather a temple. So the relationship between the Bronze Age and the later periods of Greek history, this question of whether culture continued or not, is a very difficult one to answer. What we can say with some, I think, certainty is that the world which started to reform for the Greeks in the 8th century was going to be, in most respects, quite different from the Bronze Age culture that came before it. And in the course of the next couple of lectures, we're going to be concentrating on the Greek world that came out of the Dark Ages, in the 8th century and then in the Archaic period, down to about 500 BC. What we're going to be seeing is a world in which the Greeks are trading much more widely. We're going to be seeing massive changes in Greece itself, at Delphi and Olympia. But I want to postpone those interesting areas for later lectures. And instead, we need to concentrate on two aspects of what could be called, if you like, the Archaic Revolution. The period, particularly the 8th century, when there were fundamental changes taking place in Greece. Two of them are all we can deal with right now. The first of them is the writing down of epic. This is a monumental step, and I invite you to consider its significance for a minute. We know that during the Dark Ages, from 1100 onwards, there had been oral poets operating all over Greece. Now, these oral poets, and we can even say something about their techniques now, thanks to the scholarship of Milman Parry and Alfred Lord, we know that these poets, quite literally for generations, were telling heroic stories, often based on some general cycle of myths, such as the Trojan War or the returns of the heroes afterward. And each of these performances would be subtly different. Sometimes not so subtly. For example, if you arrived in a small town like Thisbe and you knew that the local lord was going to be putting you up for the night, you might try and find out, you know, was there a hero from Thisbe involved in the Trojan War? And you might work him into your presentation that night of the poem that you're telling. Or people might tell you, well, we don't really know about our Homeric background, but we'd sure like to have one. And then you can manufacture a Homeric episode for that particular community.